Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. You are going to love this interview. Guess who's in studio? Historian Spencer Johnson is here. He's going to tell us about the Civil War weekend that's going to be at the Leduc Historic Estate in Hastings on September 11th and 12th. But as a true historian, he's going to give us a little background on not only the Civil War as it pertains to Minnesota, but also Hastings and specifically the Leduc family. Great to see you. So this time of year, we usually think about going back to school. You are not going back to school this year.
No.
But for many years, you were a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. And then right about now, you'd be driving by this, well, you'd get, you know, go in a little at a time, get yourself kind of squared away and start pulling things together. And then I still have a lot of friends who are doing that. My heart's still with them because, you know, they work really, really hard to make things work with all these challenges. So
absolutely, yes. Yep. But you said you might want to do a little
I'll do a little bit of subbing. So, you know, if anybody's feeling sick out there sometime in September, October, and they like history, let me know.
Are you specific or are you kind
of
picky?
No, I can do it. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
No, I'm not. No, I'll probably do middle school and senior high. But it's always interesting to make up a sub plan. You don't know who's going to come in and what their background is.
Right.
So you have to come up with something that has enough good content that the kids are engaged, but it's generic or simple enough that anybody could be plugged in and do it.
Right.
And oftentimes, it's easier just to teach the lesson than to come up with the plan.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of work for certain things. But like you said, I had certain ones I could plug in any time, you know, these little sideshows that anybody could do it any time, and the kids always enjoyed it.
But you don't always know when you're going to be sick.
No, you don't. So, unless you have a doctor's appointment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So otherwise, that would have been difficult. Or you're saying that you had some generic...
A couple of them.
That was
but,
smart.
But, you know, and I'll attest to this, that you'll once in a while see a teacher in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, sick, getting something ready. If something came up quick, or maybe with their kid that came up quick, they're in there early trying to pull it all together. And so the sub, when they come in at 7:30, has something to do.
Well, we really appreciate all the things that teachers do. I know you always made learning fun for the kids.
Yeah, I tried to. Thank you.
Oh, you really, really did. So Civil War weekend is coming up. It's a celebration that it's an enactment. Actually, a lot of it is at the Leduc Historic Estate in Hastings. But can you give us a little background about the Civil War? And a lot of people, of course, have that background, but maybe not the specifics of Minnesota and Hastings' contributions and the Leducs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, things had been brewing north and south, Republicans and Democrats, for several years at that time. It's no war ever just pops up spontaneously. It always sort of bubbles up slowly.
And what year would this have been?
This is 1861 to 1865.
Okay.
But in the election of 1856... John C. Fremont was running for president. The Republican Party was brand new, and he was a Northern Republican. And the Southerners, a lot of them swore that if a Northerner got elected, they're just going to secede. Well, he didn't get elected. But 4 years later, Lincoln gets elected. And right away, South Carolina dropped out. And then within a couple of months, seven states totally dropped out of the Union, which they felt because of the... Declaration of Independence, they had the right to do that. And Lincoln's stand was, and Lincoln was a lawyer, remember, Lincoln's stand was the Constitution makes no mention of being able to leave or secede or split. That's not in there. It's a United States. So, you know, everybody believed what they were fighting for, but you also have that underlying theme of slavery. And a lot of what they were fighting for was their states' rights, the right to own slaves and not have somebody tell them that they can't do that. Abolition or the ending of slavery was a movement that had begun slowly in the 1830s. It still wasn't really, really strong in the early 1860s, but the Civil War will kind of wrap that up, allow for Lincoln to pass legislation to end slavery by the end of the Civil War.
You know, when you said that South Carolina decided they didn't want to be part of the United States anymore, what does that look like? I mean, what does that even mean?
That's a really, really good question. You know, every once in a while in the news, somebody from Texas says, we're going to secede or break away. I was out west and saw some stuff in Montana and Idaho about separating out. You know, I think it's just talk, and it could be strong talk. But it would be, you know, they would have their own government and their own trade agreements with other countries. You know, there was a big thing, too, in the 1850s about the westward expansion west of the Mississippi, and will those western states be slave states or free states? And there was some legislation passed, like a line drawn across, oddly enough, right through Kansas. And they said, well, everything north of this line is going to be a slave state. Everything north is going to be a free state. South is going to be a slave state. But a big part of it was so much money was being made on slavery. And states like Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California, that was a contentious one, all had the potential to have plantations with cotton. Or there were even people bringing slaves out to mine for gold in 1849. This is before California was a state, and there wasn't any laws governing that. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see what it would look like, you know, if a state had separated. We sometimes think of third world countries today that don't ally themselves, small countries don't ally themselves with democracies or communists, and, you know, they struggle economically. But the South felt like they were strong economically and that they were right. So
during that time frame, when did Minnesota really get involved in the Civil War?
Yeah, well, Minnesota becomes a state in 1859. It became a territory in 1849. And oddly enough, before that, when Fort Snelling was built, and it was built to keep the British from coming down from Canada, some of the army officers there had brought their own personal servants, in quotes, and those servants were slaves. And the twist of that, and you can learn this if you go visit Fort Snelling, is that the army was there to enforce the laws and make sure people are obeying the laws. But the Northwest Ordinance didn't allow slavery, and the officers brought slaves up anyway. Not huge amounts. We think maybe 30, 35, but it's hard to figure the records out because they're not always specific, but, you know, there's definitely some examples. But anyway, by 1849, we become a territory. 1858, we become a state. People came to Hastings there was a treaty of 1851 that opened this land up, and Alexis Bailey, Alexander Faribault, Henry Hastings Sibley, and Henry Bailey, Alexis Bailey's son, established a trading post here, but then they platted the town out as soon as it opened up. So by 1854, we've got people kind of coming to this spot. And the advantage is, of course, we're on the river. There's a lot of prairie for wheat. There's a waterfall at Vermilion, where they're going to eventually build not just one mill, but two or three. So, you know, Henry Sibley and his business partners felt that this was going to be a good investment for the future as the fur trade was shifting further west. But when the Civil War started, or I should say when Lincoln was elected and seven southern states seceded, there was calls on both the North and the South to arms, that both sides were ready to go. There were a few states that were, we call them the border states, like Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, and Delaware, that weren't quite sure. They were slave states, but they were neighbors of the free states. They weren't quite sure what they wanted to do. But when Lincoln decides to raise an army, and then Fort Sumter is fired upon in South Carolina, then some of those states become Confederate states. And some of them are kind of 50-50, they're split. So it gets really kind of complicated. But in Hastings, there was a man by the name of Orrin T. Hayes, who had happened to be the mayor in 1860, and a newspaper man, and he puts out a call right away for 100 volunteers to come to meet him, and they were going to go up to Fort Snelling. Now, Fort Snelling had been closed for a little bit. You know, the frontier had moved further west, the fur trade had moved further west, the British were no longer a threat in the northwest frontier. And so the federal government had sold the fort. A man named Franklin Steele buys it. He's trying to kind of establish a little town there. But when Fort Sumter's fired upon, Abraham Lincoln's, says we need 100,000 volunteers, and every governor is supposed to give so many men. We were a fairly new state, and so we were expected to give one regiment, which is 1,000 men. Mm. So the lieutenant governor at that time, the assistant governor, was Ignatius Donnelly, who was an Iniger guy, and so he's kind of a neighbor of ours. And so he starts to organize people around the town, and the towns like, obviously, St. Paul, not Minneapolis, they called it St. Anthony at that time, Faribault, Mankato, Wabasha, Stillwater for sure. You know, in Hastings, these are some of the biggest towns because they're river towns, and they're going to start generating recruits. And so we were expected, the mayor sent out a word he could get 100 men, and you're going to go up to Fort Snelling and become Company H. Now, a company is 100 men. There are 10 companies of regiment, so that's 1,000 men, you know, and you know, including the officers. And on paper, anyway, we were the first ones to volunteer. Because our governor at that time, Alexander Ramsey, when Lincoln made this announcement, he was meeting with several governors, including Ramsey. And when the word came that Lincoln needed to raise 100,000 men, Ramsey immediately jumps up and says Minnesota will give one regiment. So they were going to be the first Minnesota regiment no matter what, because they were the first, you know, first to volunteer. But they're also known as the first, you know, the first in. Ironically, we didn't have 1,000 men ready because we were a pretty new state. But Ramsey knew how people felt, and it didn't take long. They eventually had to kind of close the doors and say, we have enough people. Eventually, Minnesota will give in, oh boy, I'm trying to think if it's 20 or 22 regiments. Wow. Altogether. So about 24,000 men will be involved in the Civil War from Minnesota. But the first Minnesota had a really good record. They were at Manassas, at Antietam, at Gettysburg is what they're known for, taking a big hit there, and in the Western campaigns through the rest of the war. And we've got some citizens that came back and lived here. There was one man in particular, Sergeant Akers, who was buried over at, it's a Nininger Cemetery, but it's right next to the high school, Oakwood. And he's buried there. He died at Gettysburg, but his family had him, his body moved back, and there's a kind of a cool little marker there for that. So Minnesota played an important role in the American Civil War, and Hastings played an important part of the Minnesota history.
And so the fact that the Civil War weekend is held on the grounds of the Leduc estate is important as well.
Yeah, and so the way Leduc gets involved, he comes to St. Paul in the early 1850s, and he's living in St. Paul, what would be today downtown. Has a bookstore and sells paper products. He's looking for investments. And if you ever read his book, he's got a reminiscence. It's his story of what you know, him coming. And my favorite story that's in there, besides the Civil War ones, Civil War chapters, is he's going to go trout fishing. He comes down to Hastings, crosses over on the ferry, crosses the Vermilion River, and keeps on going to go fishing. And on the way back, he meets a man named Harrison Graham, who says he needs a lawyer to kind of settle a dispute about who owns the land right around the waterfall. And Leduc offers to help him, and they win that case, and instead of paying Leduc, and this is common at that time, he gives them a part of that land. So eventually the Leducs build a small house near where the mill is going to be. I think it was where the parking lot at ConAgra is, or not ConAgra, but the big mill now. And then they start to plan. Oh, Alexander Fairbairn was one of the business partners with Sibley, and he decides to get out, sells 1/4 of the town property to Leduc for $4,000. And then Leduc is a bookseller, has a great library. He's got a book by Andrew Jackson Downing that talks about living in the country, living close to nature. It's called Cottage Residences. And so they pick a little plan in there from another house that's been built out east, and they like that a lot. And the interesting story is Mary Leduc, she wanted the kitchen to face the sunrise, so they flipped plans up, you know, today. And she took a piece of paper and put it in the window and traced it backwards, whereas today you could just do that with your computer.
Wow, isn't that clever?
Yeah, it's a cool little story. Yeah.
So the Civil War weekend historically has been the weekend after Labor Day.
Yeah.
And last year, of course, it didn't happen because of COVID.
Yeah.
But what can people expect this year, please?
That's a really good question. So first of all, in terms of COVID, the House is not going to ask you to wear a mask when you're outside. They're going to request that you wear a mask if you go inside and tour the House. But there'll be a lot of activities outside. We've got Battery I, which is an artillery unit. They bring a cannon and sometimes a Gatling gun, and they do demonstrations. They load and fire the cannon, which is really cool. We've got the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry. It's a recreated unit that does infantry, and they'll be doing musket demonstrations. One of the members, Arn Kind, is a retired teacher like myself, and he's a good friend. And he kind of sets up an enlistment camp, and families can go up there and sign up and go through the routine of enlisting and learning the drill and everything. And it's very entertaining. You know, he jumps down your throat in a kind way for the Civil War. There's another couple that come in as civilians. They have something called the Cabinet of Curiosities. It would be like a traveling museum that, sure, you know, historically you would pay to see. And that's really, really interesting. Behind the carriage house, I've got a friend that specializes in selling historic books. So he has a good selection of Civil War books and other books on history. They're all used. They're all in great shape. He'll be there too. The 5th Minnesota is a group that sort of centers around Red Wing and that part of Minnesota. And they do a lot. They've got infantry that come up. They also represent a group called the U.S. Christian Commission, which would be civilians raising money, rolling bandages, sending books, Bibles, etc. to the soldiers. They usually have a medical tent set up, and they talk about how medicine would be done in the American Civil War and about if amputations and things like that. And they also do infantry. One of their members also has a pretty good weapons collection. So in the carriage house, which is the barn, he'll set up they'll set up a table of a variety of different weapons that people can hold, you know, and kind of learn what kind of weapons would be used in the American Civil War. I'll be doing some cooking. And so, you know, when reenactors come to do this, they don't usually just drive home or go find a motel. They sleep in the tents, and we'll be sleeping in the tents overnight, getting up and having a breakfast cooked over the fire. And there might be 45 or 50 reenactors that will be there. So the cooking is always a big job. I got some really good helpers that come in and help me, you know, get the coffee boiling and the potatoes frying and things like that.
Do you still use things from the LeDuc's garden?
Yes, and I was just going to mention that. So there's a couple of ladies that volunteer there, and they're the gardeners, and they're always looking for help if somebody loves a garden. But last year, last spring, they put in cabbage, potatoes, onions, herbs, probably tomatoes, I'm guessing cucumbers. So yeah, as much as possible. And what's cool about that is when LeDuc was in the Civil War, he was a quartermaster officer. He goes in as a captain because he's got a college education. He comes out as a brevet brigadier general. And brevet is sort of a temporary, almost an honorary commission. But obviously he did a good job. So it was his job to make sure that the troops get fed, supplies, roads, steamboats, railroads, wagon roads, all those things so they can get things done. And he did an excellent job with that. So we talk a lot about how when the reenactors, the volunteers are eating, that they would not have ate as well as we feed them out of a fresh garden. And then we buy ham and sausage and bacon from Duff's and things like that. So people eat pretty good. So I always kid, like, if you want to show up and put on a blue wool coat and a hat and bring a musket, we'll make sure you get fed.
Excellent. Yeah. So. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I certainly don't want to miss the Civil War reenactment weekend. It is going to be on September 11th through the 12th at the historic LeDuc Estate right on Vermilion Street in Hastings. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
So great to see you always. Historian Spencer Johnson, you'll see him there, and you'll see a lot of people there reenacting and just enjoying the beautiful estate and also just a piece of history. So
yeah.
We're so glad that this is happening again this year. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.